So this is part two of the message titled, What is a Christian? What is a Christian? More specifically, what is a Christian according to the Bible? What is a Christian according to the Bible? Is a Christian a result of being born Christian or accepting the Christian belief or a Christian religion? Is that what makes a person a Christian? Is a Christian a matter of believing in Christ? And then voila, I believe in Christ, and voila, I'm now a Christian because I believe in Christ. Is a Christian a one-time emotional moment or decision to accept Jesus Christ? Something happens in your life. A scary moment takes place, and then you, at that moment, through that emotional decision, you make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Does a person have to be converted to Christianity? Do they really have to change? Is a change necessary for a person to be a Christian? What exactly is a Christian? Now, among other attributes, the Bible identifies four characteristics of a Christian. A Christian is one, a believer in Christ. A Christian is two, a follower of Christ. A Christian is three, called by God the Father to Christ. And number four, a Christian comes to Christ. In part one, we covered the first two attributes. We covered attribute number one, a Christian is a believer in Christ. We examined what it truly means to believe in Christ. Then we covered attribute two last time as well. A Christian is a follower of Christ. To follow Christ is to do the things which he says, to actually follow him. To actually follow him. In part two today, we'll cover two additional key attributes. Attribute number three and number four. Attribute number three is a Christian is called by God the Father to Christ. A Christian is called by God the Father to Christ. In attribute four, a Christian comes to Christ. A Christian comes to Christ. Let's get started today with attribute number three. Attribute number three. Now, attribute number three is a Christian is called by God the Father to Christ. Called by Father God to Christ. You know, I remember clearly, even as a young child, very clearly, the altar calls in Baptist Church where the preacher would encourage those in the audience to come forward and give their heart to the Lord. This was always a very sincere and very moving part of the service where you looked around to see who would come. Who would come forward when the preacher asked for those to come forward to give their heart to the Lord? You hoped, and I hoped even as a young boy, that those who came forward were sincere. I remember even praying to God that they were sincere. Such emotional moments. And often at funerals, the call was particularly emotional. Very emotional. In the inner city where I grew up, it was more the norm to attend funerals of older teens and young adults. I didn't attend very many funerals of those who were 60 years old and older. In the inner city, most of the funerals were of older teens and young adults. As a result, teenagers or young adults and sometimes even children would come forward with tears in their eyes, ready to commit themselves to Jesus Christ, ready to commit themselves to a better way of life. As they stood there and they would see their friend or their family member, a person around their age, a young person, lying in a casket, the message would resonate very strongly. And during those services, when the pastor, the minister, would ask for those to come forward who wanted to give their heart to the Lord, many times at those funerals, young people, young adults and teenagers, and even children would come forward. But as often was the case, after the deep, moving, sincere step was taken, they would soon return to their former ways. The decision to follow Christ was made primarily on emotion, not understanding and not by God's calling, but it was based on emotion. There are very authoritative statements made by Jesus Christ to those who desire to be a Christian or professed to believe and follow Christ. A third attribute of Christians as defined by Scripture is that a person must be called by God the Father to Christ. A person must be called by God the Father to Christ to be a Christian as defined in Scripture. Go with me over to John. John chapter 6 and verse 44. John chapter 6 and verse 44. Jesus Christ makes this very authoritative statement here in John chapter 6 and verse 44. He says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day." This is a very clear, very direct statement by Jesus Christ that a person cannot come to him unless they are drawn to him by God the Father. By God the Father. This truth is not understood in traditional Christianity. Jesus Christ makes this profound statement in a conversation with those who are following him, those who are seeking to have a relationship with him. They were not only emotionally moved by the miracles of Jesus Christ, but they wanted to be fed physically by Jesus Christ. However, their desire to believe and to follow Christ was not enough. It was not enough. The word come, when it says here, "No one can come to me," the word come in the Greek can also be translated become, meaning to come to a state or a condition. To truly become a Christian or to come to a state to be with Christ, one must be drawn to Christ directly by God the Father into a spiritual relationship with him, not just a physical one. When Christ says, "No one can come to me," no one can become or come to the state where you are with me without the Father drawing you to me. To truly come to Christ, to arrive where Christ is not only a moment in time, but it's a journey. It's a commitment throughout one's life. God the Father must draw the person to Christ. Now, in the Greek, the word draw here, where he says, unless the Father who sent me draws him, in the Greek, the word draw means to haul, to drag, to pull, to lead by force. God the Father is directly involved in the process through the force or power of his Holy Spirit, which leads a person in their relationship to Christ and in their relationship with Christ. This drawing is something that God the Father does through the power of his Holy Spirit. God the Father draws individuals to Christ for the ultimate purpose that they will be raised at the resurrection from the dead at that last day. At the last day. The phrase "the last day" refers to the period of time at the return of Jesus Christ to this earth where true Christians will be resurrected, changed from physical beings to spirit beings. That time of period will take place. Therefore, coming to Christ or becoming a Christian begins with God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit leading the person to Christ. The Father has to lead the person to Christ. And if that process is successful throughout the life of the individual, Christ will resurrect that person from death when he returns. This is amazing truth. Amazing understanding from Scripture. Now, if we back up in this context here in John chapter 6 to verse 45, we'll see here that Jesus Christ Let's back up to verse 35. We'll see here that Jesus Christ is teaching those who are listening and those who would read this later regarding God the Father's drawing an individual to him, that he is speaking of a spiritual process, not a physical process. Let's back up here in John chapter 6. Let's begin reading in verse 35. This drawing by God the Father to Jesus Christ is a spiritual process. It's physical, but it is primarily a spiritual process. Here in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 35, it says this: "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." You have seen me physically. You have walked with me. You have followed me, but you don't believe. Verse 37. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." God the Father calls or draws a person into a relationship with Christ where the ultimate outcome is to believe spiritually who Christ is and to believe in God the Father's invitation to be changed to a state where one will never, ever hunger, never, ever thirst. Never, ever hunger, and never, ever thirst. Those who followed Christ had seen him physically, had heard his words, but did not truly believe. They did not truly understand. They hadn't been gifted, all of them, with spiritual understanding. The calling by God the Father of individuals to Jesus Christ is a deep spiritual calling where the result is intended to be eternal life, where there is no more hunger and no more thirst. It is a call to spiritual understanding. It is a call to repentance, to change, to conversion, and ultimately to eternal life. Let's continue here in John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus Christ is continuing his teaching. It says here in verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." I should lose nothing. That's the intent. That's the intent. Verse 40. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, the Jews who had followed Jesus Christ were only able to see the physical presence of Christ. They weren't able to understand the spiritual truth. Let's continue here in John 6, verse 41. It says here, "The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?" Wait a minute. You just told us you came down from heaven. We've known you since you were a little boy. What are you saying? We see you physically. What are you telling us? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Verse 43. "Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves." And here it is in verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." God the Father has to draw the person to Jesus Christ in order for that person to meet the definition of a Christian in Scripture. When God the Father calls an individual to his Son, it is a spiritual calling to spiritual understanding. God provides an opportunity for the person to grasp knowledge at a spiritual level. Without spiritual understanding, a person can find the words and the teaching of Jesus Christ very offensive. Without spiritual understanding, people will find the law of God very offensive. Notice what took place as Christ continued to teach the Jews. Verse 56, John 6, verse 56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which comes down, which came down from heaven. Not as your father ate manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So Jesus Christ is speaking these things in their church to these individuals. Verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples. Now, a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ's teaching. A disciple is a student of Jesus Christ. These disciples, some of them were individuals who the Father had drawn to Jesus Christ. And they were learning about Jesus Christ. It says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Not only those of the Jews in the synagogue, but also the disciples of Jesus Christ, who are also Jews in the synagogue, needed spiritual understanding. The understanding that would come from God the Father, who would draw them to Christ. Let's continue in verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples, even these students of his, complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? What if all of a sudden while we're standing here, I ascend back up into the heavens? Will you believe then? Do you have to see a physical manifestation for you to believe? Verse 63. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Jesus Christ then makes clear, even to his students, even to his disciples, what he had stated back in verse 44. Verse 65. And he said to them, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. By my Father. Notice what happened, even with some who had become students of Jesus Christ. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Very sad. Very sad. His disciples did not take the next step to simply ask Jesus Christ, Christ, what do you mean when you say, eat your flesh and drink your blood? They were being called by the Father. They were there listening. They simply needed to ask Jesus Christ, what are you talking about? But instead of asking for deeper spiritual understanding, they walked away. They walked away from Jesus Christ. Instead of looking further into the Word of God for spiritual depth, they went back to their former ways and no longer walked with Christ. Very sad. To be a Christian requires God the Father to draw the individual to Christ. It is not everyone or anyone who decides on their own to believe or to follow Christ. God the Father must be involved in the process. God the Father must be involved in the process. Consider these next three passages. Go with me over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 13. In verse 16, this is Jesus Christ speaking. Again, not everyone who decides on their own to believe or to follow Jesus Christ will do so. God the Father has to draw the person. Here in Matthew 13, verse 16, it says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many," now notice it says here many, not all, not everyone, "but many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Many, many prophets, many righteous men. No, a Christian has spiritual sight and spiritual understanding. There were many Old Testament prophets and righteous men who lived and died before Jesus Christ's coming in the New Testament, but were given the spiritual ability to see, to hear, and to understand. That spiritual understanding is granted by God the Father to those who God the Father would draw to Christ. And even in the Old Testament, this was still true. God the Father was drawing individuals to Christ, even in the Old Testament. There were some during the Old Testament times that God the Father drew to Christ and allowed them to see, allowed them to hear, and allowed them to understand spiritual knowledge. Let's look at this example. Go with me over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. It has always been the case that God the Father must draw individuals to Jesus Christ. Not only did it take place in the New Testament, it took place in the Old Testament as well. Note this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. It says here, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Moses considered his suffering for the obedience of Christ, as it goes on to say here, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for his reward. He looked for eternal life. Moses esteeming the reproach of Jesus Christ. Moses had to be called by God the Father to an understanding and to Christ. That's what it tells us here in Hebrews. Hebrews not only lists Moses, but it also lists other individuals there in Hebrews 11. And it talks about them. Go up to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. It talks about these individuals that God the Father had drawn to Christ. It says here in Hebrews 11, verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." There were some, even in the Old Testament, who God the Father had drawn to Christ, and they decided to do what was necessary for eternal life. And they, along with Moses, will be raised up at the last day. Yet there were some disciples in the New Testament who heard the truth about Jesus Christ and decided to turn and to walk away. Let's look at this next passage, Mark chapter 4, verse 11. Mark chapter 4, verse 11. We don't decide on our own to be a Christian. God the Father must call us, must draw us to his Son, Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 4 in verse 11. In Mark chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And he said to them," speaking of Jesus Christ, "to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive." There are many people who see, there are many people who can read God's word, but not perceive the truth, not perceive the understanding. "And hearing, they hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins should be forgiven them." God the Father determines who will be given the opportunity to come to Christ and when that opportunity will be given to them. God the Father. The biblical definition of a Christian includes the attribute that a Christian is called by God the Father to Christ, God the Father to Christ. Christ said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." One of the attributes of a Christian is that a Christian is called by God the Father to Jesus Christ. Attribute number four. Attribute number four, a Christian must come to Christ. A Christian must come to Christ. A fourth biblical attribute of a Christian as defined in Scripture is that a Christian must come to Christ. You can believe Christ, you can follow Christ, and even be called by God the Father to Christ, but God the Father nor Jesus Christ will make you choose to follow Christ the rest of your life. After the Father calls or draws you to his Son, you must make a choice to come to Christ, meaning to follow and obey. God the Father will not make you obey him for the rest of your life, even if he draws you to his Son. You have to make the choice to come to Christ, meaning to follow him and obey him. God the Father will call a person to Christ, and through that calling, allow that person to understand God's written word, the Holy Scripture. When you decide to come to Christ, because God the Father has drawn you to him, God will then open your mind to understand his scriptures, spiritual word. Go with me over to Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Hearing Luke 24 verse 44, it says this. "Then he," speaking of Jesus Christ, "said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." The scriptures that Jesus Christ referred to is the entire Old Testament. The entire whole Old Testament, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms or the writings are the three divisions of the Old Testament. In addition to the Old Testament, Jesus Christ makes clear that it was and would also be things written and witnessed about him in the New Testament. So it's all of the Old Testament as well as all of the New Testament. He makes this clear in verse 46. John 24, verse 46, he continues, "And he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name for all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things.'" So verses 44 and 45 speak to the Old Testament. Verse 46, 47, and 48 speak to the New Testament. Holy Scripture. Holy Scripture. Verse 46 and verse 47 were prophesied, written about in the Old Testament, but took place and was recorded in the New Testament. Understanding the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, is for the purpose of the true Christian to then do what the Scriptures teach. But it is the individual's choice to obey. It is the individual's choice to obey. The scriptural teaching of obedience is throughout the Bible. The Bible teaches the necessity of obedience in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the Scriptures make clear that the person must choose. The individual must choose. They have to choose to come to Christ. The individual must choose. This is not only true in the New Testament, but it's true in the Old Testament as well. Go with me back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. The Bible makes clear that it is your choice. You follow Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ. God the Father draws you to Christ. Then you must choose to follow Christ. Christ says you must come to him. But it's your choice. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose, you choose life. Your choice. Your choice. It's your choice. Now the I that is speaking here is Jesus Christ in one accord with God the Father. Where it says, I, Jesus Christ, is speaking here. Jesus Christ calls heaven and earth as witness against you. You have to choose. You have to choose. Jesus Christ is telling or teaching each of us the crucial truth and reality of choosing to come to him. Once called by God the Father, you can listen to what Jesus Christ says, take it to heart, learn from it, and choose to change your life and order your steps according to his teaching, or you can discount it and choose to obey. It's your choice. Your choice. Jesus Christ is not going to force you to come to his son, Jesus Christ, and to obey him for the rest of your life. But if you are a Christian, that is what a Christian does. That is a definition, that is an attribute of a Christian. Now, why should Christ's words or the Bible be taken so seriously when it comes to making the choice to obey what is written in Scripture? Why is it the Bible? Why is it Christ's words? Why wouldn't it be some other prophet's words? Why Christ's words? Well, go with me to Colossians. Keep something here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Why Christ's words? Why must you choose to follow Jesus Christ? Here in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, it says this. For by him, by Jesus Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, that in all things he may have preeminence. Now, the reason that the called of God should come to Christ by doing what Christ says is simply because he absolutely, unequivocally knows exactly what he is talking about. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the visible and the invisible. And he authorized the writing of Holy Scripture. That is why we follow what Christ says. That's why we have to make the individual decision to choose to follow him. And what does obedience or coming to Christ look like? What does it look like when someone is obedient to Christ, when someone comes to Jesus Christ? Go back to Deuteronomy 30. Let's continue in verse 20. Deuteronomy 30, continuing in verse 20. What does it look like when someone comes to Christ, truly comes to him? God the Father draws a person to Jesus Christ. Then the person makes the decision to come to Christ. What does it look like? Here in Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. It says that you may, this is what it looks like, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord your God swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. This is what it looks like. An individual who is drawn to Jesus Christ and decides to come to him, decides to obey him, he loves the Lord his God. He obeys his voice. He clings to Jesus Christ because he recognizes that Jesus Christ is his life and Jesus Christ is responsible for the length of his days. He is his life and the length of his days, so that you may dwell in the land which the Lord your God swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. But understand that this land that is being talked about here in Deuteronomy is the kingdom of God. That's the land. That's the promised land. The kingdom of God. That is what Jesus Christ is making clear here. When you accept the calling of God the Father to come to Christ, it is a choice that you have to make every single day. Your choice. You choose. The spiritual land of promise is the kingdom of God, as we read about in Hebrews. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses looked for a spiritual promised land. Not the physical land. The physical land was okay. But they knew that they were searching for, that they had seen, that their mind had been opened up to a spiritual land. A spiritual promise. One thing is very sure about this life. You are going to choose what you want to do anyway. You're going to choose what you want to do anyway, either now or in the future. It's your choice. You choose. If you desire to be a Christian after the Father draws you to Christ, you must obey. You must choose to come to Christ every day. You have to make that choice. You have to make that choice. Consider what Joshua said to the children of Israel. Go with me over to Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Joshua chapter 4, verse 14. This is what Joshua said to the children of Israel after they had left Egypt and they had entered into the promised physical land. He makes clear something here about choice. It's still your choice. You have to choose. If you say that you're a Christian, God the Father has drawn you to his Son, you then have to choose whether or not you are going to follow Christ. Your choice. Your choice. Verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. You choose. You choose for yourself whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But you choose for yourself. Choose for yourself. Verse 15, choose for yourself this day whom you're going to serve. It's your choice. God the Father had drawn the children of Israel into the physical promised land, but it was their choice whether they're going to serve God the rest of their lives. That choice still stands. Drop down to verse 21. And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." We're witnesses. You have chosen the Lord for yourself. No one can make that choice for you to follow the Lord every day of your life. You have said this is what you're going to do. A true Christian will endeavor to choose every day to obey God, to serve him. This is how a Christian comes to Jesus Christ. You have chosen to serve the Lord for yourself. It's your choice. Your choice. God the Father calls you. God the Father says, "Go to my son." Jesus Christ says, "Come to me." Coming to him is something you do every single day in obedience to God's law, God's word, God's scripture. But it's your choice. It's your choice. Now, are there going to be pressures on a person that believes Christ, follows Christ, is called to Christ, to then come to Christ by choosing to obey him? Are there pressures? Are there all sorts of things that happen within life, within marriage, on your jobs that cause you to want to push away from the ways of Christ, from the laws of Christ, from the commandments of Christ? Yes, there are. There are many pressures when God the Father calls a person to Christ for them to choose to want to go the opposite way. Yes, there are many pressures. There are traditions, there are beliefs, there are ways of worship and living that are contrary to God's scriptures. It was the same during the time of Jesus Christ. It was the same throughout the Old Testament. It's the same today. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, two very religious groups of people, followed traditions that were against God's law. Against God's law. Go with me back to Mark. Over to Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, two very religious groups, follow traditions, decide for themselves, chose for themselves, in spite of what they understood, in spite of Jesus Christ's teachings, they decided themselves to follow the traditions instead of following God's word. Here in Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 6, it says, "He answered and said to them," Jesus Christ speaking, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'The people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold to the traditions of men, washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." Verse 9. He said to them, "All too well, you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your traditions." Your own traditions. Verse 13, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. There are many traditions that are handed down through this life. Many things that people do that are contrary to God's law, to his spiritual law. To come to Christ will mean studying and understanding God's word, then willingly being obedient to it. But it's your choice. Your choice. Searching to see if there are traditions, holidays, or ways of life that are against the truth or against the word of God. If there are, a Christian, as defined by Scripture, will refrain from doing or participating in those things. That's what a Christian defined by Scripture will do. They will spend time searching the Scripture to see if there are traditions, holidays, ways of life, belief systems that one has that are contrary to God's law. And as they find these things, are taught these things, discover these things, then they will refrain from participating in them. Why? Because they want to come to Christ. They want to come to Christ. Look at this additional warning over in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Here in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 8, it says this: beware. This is a warning for every one of us, for every Christian, everyone who is deciding or believing that God the Father is drawing them to Christ. They're making the decision to come to Christ. Here's the warning: beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. There are basic principles, fundamental principles of the world that are against the law of God. Fundamental principles of the world. Life, Hope, and Truth, Bible Study Course, Lesson 10, titled "The Process of Christian Conversion," page 6, states the following. It says this, quote, "The primary evidence of God's calling is having the ability and willingness to begin to understand the Bible." The ability and the willingness to begin to understand the Bible. Even though there are millions of people who profess a belief in God, many follow traditions that contradict the Bible. When we are truly being called by God, we advance past a basic belief in Him or a mere religious affiliation and begin to really grasp an understanding of His Word. We begin to comprehend who He really is, what His purpose is, and how He expects us to live. If we respond to this understanding, it then translates into personal change. Personal change. God gives you and gives me the huge responsibility to choose to come to Christ after being drawn to Christ by God the Father. It's your choice. It's your choice. Those who will ultimately be in the kingdom of God, changed from physical being to spirit being, will be there not only through the mercy, grace, calling, and power of God, but because they chose to come to Christ. They made that choice. What is incredible is that God has placed the responsibility of choice on you. On you. Once called by God the Father to Jesus Christ, will you do the right things or will you choose to do the wrong things? It's your choice. Your choice. Will you choose to obey or will you choose to disobey? Now, Christ said back in Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, which we read, choose life. He wants you to choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Eternal life. And he said in John 6, 47 to 48, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. And I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. At a high level, the Bible defines a Christian as one who believes in Christ and follows Christ and is called by God the Father to Christ and makes the choice to then come to Christ through obedience to His Holy Scripture. But it's your choice. It is your choice. Jesus Christ, in His very first temptation by Satan in the wilderness, makes clear for all humanity the importance of obedience to God's word. Go with me over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Jesus Christ, in this very familiar temptation by Satan, makes clear the first test had to do with God's word. Makes this clear for us. Obedience to God's word. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says here, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. Now Jesus Christ was hungry. He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was famished. His physical body had taken a toll. He was hungry. It would have been a simple act, a very simple miracle for him to turn these rocks into bread, to follow the directive of Satan. But verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is how we live. That is how we come to Christ. That is how we lean in towards God's way of life. That is what leads to the promise of everlasting life. It's to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Christ is speaking of spiritual life. Coming to Christ is a choice that you must make. It's a choice that you must make. God the Father can draw you, you can follow, you can believe. But to come to Christ means that you are going to be obedient to the spiritual things that God reveals in his word about following Him, about coming to Him. One final question. How do you know if God is calling you to Christ? How do you know if God is calling you to Christ? To be a Christian as defined by the Bible. How do you know? There is an excellent article written by Harold Rhodes on the Life, Hope, and Truth website titled, Many Are Called, But Few Are Chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. You see, God calls many. But the choosing is up to us. If we choose Jesus Christ, then the God the Father in Christ comes into relationship with us. But God the Father must first call you. It is then your choice. How do you know if God the Father is calling you? This article from the Life, Hope, and Truth website titled, Many Are Called, But Few Are Chosen, under the subheading, Is God Calling Me? It states the following. How can you know if God is calling you? If you truly are being called to become a Christian and follow Jesus Christ, answering the following questions will help. Answering these following questions will help. Have I accepted Christ as my personal Savior for salvation from death, from the death penalty of sin and breaking God's law? Have I accepted Christ as my personal Savior? Meaning that you have to understand what sin is. There has to be an understanding of what breaking God's law is. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do I understand the Bible when I study it? Is God granting me understanding? When I'm reading scripture, there's some understanding that's taking place. Have I developed a relationship with God through prayer? When I pray, do I know that I'm praying to God, the God of heaven? God the Father of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ at his right hand. Have I developed a relationship with God through prayer? Do I recognize that my natural inclination is to do things contrary to what God expects? Are you in tune with yourself? That there's a natural tendency to sin. There's a natural tendency to do things that are against God's law. And you. In me. Has my mind changed from resenting God's law to appreciating those laws as standards to live by? When I read the Ten Commandments, is there a love for that? Is there an understanding from that? Is there a perspective of how different the world would be if they kept any one of those? Do I recognize the need to live according to God's law in response to Jesus's sacrifice for my sins? You come to the understanding that Jesus Christ gave his life for you. You then have a recognition that I have to change. What must I do? Jesus Christ gave his life for me. What am I supposed to do now? Do I put knowledge I gain from the Bible into action? Am I striving to obey God in every area of my life as I learn how he wants me to live? As I understand God's word and I'm reading his word, I'm saying, I need to change this. I need to make adjustments here. I need to think differently about that. And lastly, have I discovered that the more I learn and act on biblical truths, the more I desire to learn still more? The more I learn, I want to learn more. The more I understand, I want to understand more. Those are some pointers that you can think about regarding God calling you. God calling you. God is calling individuals today to his son, Jesus Christ. He absolutely is. It is then your choice to answer that call to come to Christ by learning, understanding, and following Holy Scripture. But it's your choice. You choose. If we ignore God's calling, Satan and this world will quickly distract us and we'll keep living exactly as we had been living before. We'll quickly return to how we were living before. The disciples heard something they didn't understand out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. Instead of leaning in to find out what he meant, they decided to walk away and to go back to living how they were before. When this happens, the spiritual veil of deception will fall back over your eyes. When an individual accepts that calling and comes to Jesus Christ tells us over in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 to 46, what it can be compared to. Go with me over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. When someone accepts this way of life, this calling, Jesus Christ tells us what it can be compared to, what it should feel like. When you are coming to Christ, when you're learning his way of life, when you're understanding spiritual things, Jesus Christ says here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, what it can be compared to. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. This is rich. This is rewarding. You mean there's eternal life? There's an opportunity for me to be changed to a spirit being. There's an opportunity for me to never, ever hunger, to never, ever thirst. I didn't realize that was in God's word. I didn't realize that is what the Bible is about. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and brought it. This way of life, I want to learn more. I want to figure out what I must do, how I must live, so that I can treasure this pearl, that I can hold this pearl, I can find other pearls of great price. There is more to conversion and God's calling than a fleeting emotional reaction to hearing God's word. Even hearing the words today, there is more to conversion and God's calling than a fleeting emotional reaction to hearing God's word. It is truly a process that requires time, prayer, study, effort, change, and more. But every step that you take is greatly rewarding. Greatly rewarding. I encourage you to read and study God's word and the articles on life, hope, and truth to get a more complete picture of what God expects of you. What is a Christian as defined by the Bible? What is a Christian? Are you a Christian? A Christian is an individual who believes Christ, follows Christ, and is called by God the Father to Jesus Christ, and comes to Christ as evidenced by doing what he or she must do to be obedient to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is how the Bible defines a Christian. The Christian way of life leads to spiritual treasure. It is a spiritual pearl of great price. It leads to the kingdom of God. That spiritual treasure is there for every true Christian. That spiritual treasure is there for you. Are you a Christian?